Good evening. Good to see everybody tonight. It'd be good to see Dan here, but you know, we know why he's not. We know why he's not, and hope he's well and back with us soon. I want to take a few minutes tonight to talk to you about something that I don't think we've talked about in a while, and that's Christian unity. You know, we can see in the Bible that unity is a biblical concept. In John 17:23, we see that Jesus prayed that we all may become perfectly one. And in 1 Corinthians 1:10, Paul said, "I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought." Unity is very important to God. And many times, if the truth were known, many Christians probably don't rank unity very high. If you were to ask Christians to rank things that are important for Christians to do, you know, being in unity probably wouldn't make the list of many people. It's probably not something that a lot of Christians would even think about. Some say that the church would be better if there were unity, but they blame others for the lack of it. And what's not realized that is until we have real unity, then the church won't grow like it should grow. And really, a lack of unity is what Satan desires. That's what Satan wants in a church. That's what Satan does his best to do, is destroy a church. And a great way to do it is from a lack of unity. So I think we all know that we should make unity a higher priority if we want to really see the church grow like Christ wants it to grow. So why is unity something that's so important? Well, if you'll turn to John 17, verses 20 through 23, Jesus answers this question here as he prays to his disciples, as to his believers. John 17. In John 17, 20 through 23, Jesus says, "I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them, even if you have loved me." Did y'all notice why Jesus said unity is so important? He said it twice in those few verses that we just read. In 21 and 23, he said the reason for unity, or for this oneness, is so that the world may believe that God sent Jesus. Jesus is special. Jesus is the one who God sent. Without Jesus, there's no salvation. You see, the unity of Christians is a direct testimony to the deity of Jesus Christ. But we need to realize that the opposite also tends to be true. When people see disunity in Christians, they're less likely to want to become a Christian themselves. Disunity really is the reason we have so many religions in the world today. You know, we have all these Christian religions, but we don't all believe alike. We're not in unity. And just think about it. If we as Christians can't get along and we fuss and we fight and we talk bad about each other, then it prevents non-Christians that we know from even wanting to become a Christian. We want the world to believe, and we want them to hear and believe the good news of Christ. Then one of the things that we must do is be what is said in Ephesians 4, verses 3 through 5. There we read, "We must be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." One. Not a bunch. One. The bottom line is that we must have unity if we want to help the church grow. You know, if we study the word ecclesia, we hear Dan say that word sometime. And what's it mean? We've heard him say it. It means to be called out, right? It's the church. But we see it means called out. But called out for what? Are we called out to keep Christ a secret in our lives? Is that what it is? Are we called out to live as the world lives and just be a Christian in secret? Or are we called out to where others can see Christ in us? We're called out of the world. Some seem to think that called out implies separateness. You know, I'm called out to be separate. But the definition of the words must be determined by how they were actually used when they were written, and not by today's definition. The word ecclesia was not used for separateness, but for togetherness for Christians. The word ecclesia also means gathering or assembly. And it's about individuals being called out, but also being called to be together as Christians. You see, we're coming out of the world, but that's not the emphasis on the word. The emphasis on the word is being brought together into Jesus Christ, being united with Christ. Something interesting about unity is that we don't create Christian unity. You know, we might think, well, we can create unity, but we don't. When we look in 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, we can see where unity was created. Unity was created when in one spirit we were all baptized into one body. See, that's unity, one body with Christ. Being baptized into one body binds us together in unity. In this world, we get to thinking, well, we're unified. Yeah, how are we unified if we're a lot of churches believing different things? Unified as people, unified in the world. But we're called out for unity in Christ. It isn't something we create, but it is there nonetheless. But even though we don't create unity, Ephesians 4:3 tells us that it's our responsibility to eagerly maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So what are some ways that we can maintain unity? Well, Ephesians 4:1-4 tells us to be humble, to be gentle, to be patient, to bear with one another in love, and to be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. According to 1 Corinthians 15:2, in order to have unity, we must hold fast to the Word of God. And if we don't hold fast to the Word of God, then we believe in vain. And we need unity, but it must be unity with God and with each other. Not just unity with each other. First, we've got to have unity with God. We can maintain unity by remembering the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. After all, 1 Corinthians 15:3 says that's matters of first importance. It's not about man-made doctrines and things we want. It's about being unified and faithful and loyal as servants to God. And a big thing we can do to maintain unity is to make sure that we don't quarrel over opinions. You know, Romans 14 is full of that. Quarreling does not build unity. Our opinions mean nothing if they're contrary to God's word anyway. And if God's word says it, it shouldn't be a quarrel over it. So really, there's no use for quarreling. Romans 15:1 tells us another thing we can do to keep unity is for those who are strong to bear the failings of the weak. The bottom line is that a church can't have unity unless we, as the members of the church, are in unity. That means we have to be humble, gentle, patient, loving, kind, and we must be unified in the Word. When we start trying to believe things because I think, then I'm in trouble. When we believe things because I see it in the Bible, I read it, then we're on the right track. We must only teach doctrine what is truly taught by the New Testament. You know, that's a big thing. If it says it, that's the way God wants it. It doesn't matter if I don't think it means that's how God said it. That's how God wants it. And anything beyond that is my opinion or speculation. We can certainly discuss our opinions, but we shouldn't quarrel over them. We should not quarrel and divide over an opinion. And just as soldiers hold the line, as Christians, that's what we must do. We must hold the line. We must hold firmly to the truth and stick together. Let's stick with the truth. Remember that unity is so important. Why did Jesus say? So the world may believe, right? That's what Jesus said in two of those verses we read. But they must believe the truth. Only unity with truth is good unity. We must be unified with God just as Christ was unified with God. That's what he prayed for. And when we let our preferences or agendas or personalities divide us, we might as well say, I don't care if the world believes. You know, that's not what it is. We should have a desire for the world to believe, but we should be unified in teaching them the truth. It's got to be what they believe. It's got to be truth. Unity must be one of our highest priorities. And because it's something Jesus prayed that we would be, and you know, it's real easy in church to hurt the unity. If we talk about people behind their back, or, well, I don't like because somebody preached too long, or I didn't like him leading singing, or it's real easy to tear a church apart. But it doesn't lead anyone to becoming a Christian to do that. When God gives the parable about the different talents, he doesn't say we've all got to have the most talents. He just wants us to use the one, if we've got one, to the best of our ability. And others shouldn't judge. I mean, I realize I'm not a preacher. But y'all don't look down on me for that. I'm using my one for God tonight. You know, that's what we should do. And not talk bad about people because, well, I don't like this song, or I didn't like the way I had to do this or that. Let's don't do that. That doesn't build anything up. Satan wants us to have that attitude, and he wants us to even have the attitude, well, I'd rather be right by myself than wrong with you. You know, some people have that attitude. Well, I'll be right by myself. Christ would rather us have the attitude, I'd rather be right with you, and I'm going to do everything I can to make sure you see what's right. That's the attitude we should have. I'm going to do all I can to let you see what's right. That doesn't mean we agree with error. It means we're going to do everything in our power to help them see the truth, to get past, well, the Bible doesn't really mean that. If it says it, you know, baptism, something always jumps at me on that. Well, you don't really have to be. Well, the Bible says it. That's an opinion when people say you don't. But when we're already together, unified in Christ, when we are, let's stay that way. Let's don't let Satan ease in there and break us down. And if we're divided, let's figure out how the gospel of truth and grace can bring us together so that we can be one, even as, like Jesus prayed here, even as he and the Father are one. Ephesians 4, 11 through 13 says, so Christ himself gave apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. You see, we need to be unified. We need to be so unified that we're unified in Christ, not just as a group. That's why there's so many religions today. We need to be unified in Christ first. Are you unified in Christ? If not, you'll never have peace because that's the only way to have it. Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? In John 6:47, Jesus said, The one who believes has eternal life. Now, there are those who stop there. And their little group says, okay, all you got to do is believe. But remember, we've got to have unity in Christ and unity in God's Word. We have to be unified that God is the one in charge. Jesus also said in Luke 5:22, I've not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. We have to repent. Not just believe, but repent. If you've repented, have you confessed He's your Savior? Matthew 10:32, Jesus said, whoever acknowledges me before others, I'll also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I'll disown before my Father in heaven. There's those that believe in Christ, but they don't acknowledge Him. We see the demons did that. Have you been baptized for remission of sins? Here's a big one. You know, people, well, you don't have to, you know, all you got to do is believe. Well, Jesus said in Matthew 16:16, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. I mean, if you don't believe, you're not going to be baptized. So that goes to reason. Acts 2:38, the people ask, what must we do to be saved? Here's where I don't understand where people, man, you don't have to be. They ask, what must we do to be saved? And they're told, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for forgiveness of your sins. People today say, well, yeah, you don't have to be baptized. God's Word said you do. First, we have to have unity with Christ, unity with God. Have you made a decision to live for Christ and to lead others to Christ while being faithful? In John 15:5-6, Jesus said, if you remain in me, see, there's something you do. You don't just be baptized and then you go back to doing all you did. If's a big word. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that's thrown away and withers, and such branches are picked up, thrown in the fire and burned. Some people, they don't get it from the Bible, but some say, well, once saved, always saved. That's not what Jesus just said, is it? If you remain in me, you had to be in Him to start with to remain. If you remain in me, you're saved. But if not, you'll be picked up, thrown in the fire and burned. If you're not, then you're not really unified in the church. You're not unified in Christ if you haven't done these things. There's never a better time than right now to be united with Christ if you're not united. To be united with believers. To be a Christian. And if we can help you do that, we'd ask that you come as we stand and sing.